Welcome to Holden Village. Today is August the 24th, 1999, and in Koinonia Creekside Room this evening is Bob Ekblad and Gracie's session. God's will equals poverty, misery, and other punishments. The impact of popular theology. Let's listen in.
For our second session, and this is called The Will of God, Poverty, Misery, and Other Punishments. The impact of popular theology on the Honduran poor. We want to include that to include migrant farm workers and, you know, not just the Honduran poor, but basically the underclass, wherever they may be, because we found that these images, negative images of God, are fairly universal. And we definitely, I encounter them everywhere I work. Anyway, what we'll be talking about is a little bit about just how the average campesino, the average peasant from Mexico, Central America, envisions God, and how that the vision, their visions of God impact their behavior, and positively and negatively. So anyway, we're going to begin with a few slides of Hurricane Mitch, which is a hurricane that I think all of you probably know about. It devastated Honduras and parts of El Salvador and Nicaragua and Guatemala back in November of this last year. And I'm starting off with...
You can't hear very well.
Oh, you can't hear. Okay. I'm starting out with some slides of Hurricane Mitch because I was down in December for about 3 weeks, right after about a month after the hurricane had hit. And we found that many of the churches were taking advantage of the hurricane to sort of using it as an example for their preaching. And I thought that would be a great beginning for our discussion of negative images of God. So anyway, if someone could turn the lights off, I'm going to go ahead and just start with those slides, and then our friends will be commenting on them. And for those of you who don't know our people here, we have Rocio Robles from Mount Vernon, Celio Mejia, and David Calis. And they'll be sharing directly, and I'll be translating after the slides. Could someone turn on the slide projector up there at the top? Recently, Hurricane Mitch, you know, back in November, Hurricane Mitch just dumped rain on Honduras for 5 days straight. I forget how many feet fell in 5 days, but it was, you know, enough to just create absolute chaos in Honduras. You know, thousands of people were killed, and hundreds, over 100,000 people lost their homes. And anyway, this is a picture of downtown Tegucigalpa, which is the center of the country. And this used to be a little river that would run through here, but because of all the landslides, this river was dammed up. And pretty much the whole market area, which is over this way, on the other that side of the photo, was completely wiped out. This was a house that we used to use, you know, for our ministry as a center for helping farmers sell their produce in the market. And this was a two-story building that was completely leveled, as was this whole street. This was a whole street with stores and pharmacies and all kinds of things on it, and all of it is just absolute rubble. And anyway, the whole section of the center part of the city was wiped out like this. And where we stood there, it just absolutely reeked like death. And a lot of the people had handkerchiefs over their noses and faces. This is a bridge that crosses through the middle of the city, and you can see the railings have been completely wiped off because the river went right over the top of this bridge. And you can see there's some people holding their noses and, you know, with handkerchiefs over their faces, and just a nauseating smell came up from this river. They figured there was as many as, you know, a couple thousand disappeared Hondurans in the mud underneath that water, you know, when I was there. And that was a month after the hurricane had swept through. Many of the bridges, puentes, fueron destruidos. About 70% of the bridges in the country were wiped out like this, you know, because the rivers grew so much from all the debris and, you know, the landslides and everything. The rivers were just full of big, huge trees, and they were just being swept down. And anyway, 70% of the bridges in the country were wiped out. people were displaced. This is a center that was pretty much empty now, but because most of the people had gone to live with relatives. But during the first weeks after the hurricane, this place was just jam full of people that had lost their homes. David Cali's one of the promoters here from Tierra Nueva. His brother had family members that were, his brother's children were in one of the neighborhoods that was completely swept away. And he heard that from his radio and immediately took off walking from Minas de Oro, which is like, ¿cuántos kilómetros de Minas de Oro? 170 kilometers from the capital. He took off walking, as fast as he could to get to the capital to find out what had happened to his kids. And it took him a day and a half to get there, and he was able to hitch some rides, but he had to wait forever to cross some of these rivers where the bridges had been wiped out, they crossed on canoes. And finally he got to this center, because he was told that all the people that had survived were in this center, and he found his two kids there.
Wow.
But many people never found their kids, never found their family members. There's still numerous, thousands of people that are disappeared, that are just buried alive, and because of all the landslides. This man is a beggar who I've known for 17 years, since I first went to Honduras, and we've conversed every time I see him in the capital, and I asked him how he was doing. He said, well, his whole family was killed. His mother's brothers, they were from the south of Honduras in Choluteca, in a village that was completely swept away. The whole village was swept away. This is an agricultural cooperative called New Life, Nueva Vida, and it's part of our ministry, Tierra Nueva. The promoters of Tierra Nueva visit this community every month. Their field was just had a beautiful corn crop on it, but it was the rivers rose so much that it covered their whole land with 6 feet of pure sand, making it completely useless now. So one of the things we did is we've been raising money to help purchase land. We were able to purchase a new plot for them to start out freshly somewhere else. But I mean, they lost their whole harvest still. And you can see all the corn that's just dust. Oops, that's not supposed to be there. So anyway, all the corn was wiped out, and that's one of the corn cobs that's covered with mold and it's all rotted. ¿Qué porcentaje de la cosecha fue perdido? In this region where we were from, we lived, 80% of the harvest was wiped out by the hurricane. So anyway, we can turn off the slides and open the shades if you want. We're going to use that as a jumping off point for our discussion about the will of God. I've asked Celio and David to share a little bit about how the churches interpreted Hurricane Mitch, kind of at the grassroots level in Honduras. ¿Cómo es que las iglesias interpretaron lo que pasó con el huracán ahí en el campo?
Sí, después de que pasa, por ejemplo, un fenómeno de esta clase, siempre hay comentarios.
After a phenomenon of this kind of nature class happens, there's always commentaries.
Y, por ejemplo, las iglesias hallaron una coyuntura para traer gente.
The churches used this hurricane as a way to, to bring more people into their congregations.
Hacia las iglesias porque hay tanta gente que no asiste a ninguna iglesia.
There's a lot of people that don't assist any church.
Va y entonces esa gente ellos ponían hojas sueltas o si no en revista. Hay una revista que circula que se llama Hablemos Claro.
So there was a church. The churches handouts, and they published things in newspapers and magazines. And there's a magazine that's called We Speak Clearly.
Que se sale semanalmente.
And it comes out every week. That might be the plain truth. Actually,
domingo,
it's probably the plain truth.
Ya fin de semana no se encuentra la que salió la semana. Ya todo ha sido vendida.
And this was all completely sold during the week, and during the weekend you couldn't even find it because everyone had picked it up.
Como en el mes de enero de este año salió una que el gran titular por encima decía Mis Castigo de Dios.
And so there was like recently this paper came out and it said, or this magazine came out saying Mitch, the will of God, or the punishment from God.
Pero qué decían las hojas sueltas.
Bueno, era como un anuncio que se iba a hablar sobre el castigo de Dios que iba a venir por, por el huracán.
And in the handouts, people would the handouts would promote like gatherings where someone would speak about the coming punishment of God.
O sea que era un poco a lo contrario, ¿verdad? Porque en este fenómeno hubo ahí murieron niños.
In this hurricane, there were people that died. There were young people, old people, you know, middle-aged people, everybody, children. David? My name is David Calis. One of the things that I've observed that happened after this phenomenon happened.
Los teólogos, que la mayoría de los teólogos que están en Honduras,
the majority of the theologians in Honduras,
lo han tomado como una base para hablar,
have taken this as a basis from which to speak
a la gente
to the people
fue un castigo de Dios,
that this was a punishment from God.
Que se conviertan, dicen ellos.
People say convert. Come to churches, come to our churches, accept Jesus. Because this was like a warning that God made. People say this is only the beginning. And people say this. The preachers were saying this is a consequence of the bad things that we're doing.
Me llama la atención que hay muchas iglesias ya engrosando su número de personas.
I'm noticing that many churches are growing in numbers.
Pero me da tristeza también al mismo tiempo de ver que todo el mundo va corriendo a las iglesias por el miedo.
But it makes me sad because what I see is everyone's going to the churches because of the fear that they have.
Me hace pensar qué pensarán esas personas, qué concepto tendrán de Dios.
And that makes me ask the question, what concept, what image of God do these people have?
Entonces lo toman como un asesino.
They take God like a murderer.
Como un, bueno, incomparable. No puedo comparar por el hecho de ver niños en la corriente ahogándose.
You know, when you see children that were in the currents, that were drowning, and the preachers were saying, well, that's because of people's bad behavior.
También hay mucha gente, no sé cómo, resentida con Dios.
And there are a lot of people that are resentful towards God.
Porque hay hogares que solo quedó uno,
because there are places where homes where only a mother or father were left.
Solo quedaron los niños,
or maybe only the children were survived.
No quedó nada.
Or nothing, so no one survived.
Hay personas que están como huyendo de Dios.
So there are people that are like fleeing from God.
Como diciendo, si yo estoy perdido, yo voy a hacer lo que sea de todas maneras. Se me murió mi esposa, se me murieron mis hijos. Dios me los quitó, Dios me los mató, y en esa forma tan cruel.
So there are people that are saying, you know, well, if I'm lost already, I might as well do anything. What does it matter? Because I mean,
entonces,
look, God has already taken away my children. God's taken away my wife, my everything that I have.
Ha habido personas que se han suicidado.
There are people that have committed suicide.
Que se han tirado de puentes,
that have jumped from, that have hung themselves, that have jumped from bridges.
O se ha tirado al agua también.
Or that have thrown themselves into water.
Entonces, más que todo porque no haya, ¿cómo se llama? No haya apoyo.
More than anything, because they haven't felt support from the churches that call themselves Christians, you know, moral support from
them.
They haven't experienced from the churches. They believe that maybe this hurricane came because of their bad behavior.
¿Cómo? Vino por el mal comportamiento de tal vez de la tal vez cuando solo quedó el varón en la casa.
Well, maybe one person was left in the house, one
dice,
guy.
Le han hecho creer que es por su comportamiento.
So the man thinks maybe it was because of my bad behavior.
Hijos, su esposa,
that my wife, my children, everyone died.
Y entonces no se perdona a él nunca.
Mm. And so the person says, I can never be forgiven. I can't forgive myself.
Tal vez no se perdona porque él cree que él fue de la culpa.
Yeah.
Entonces que por eso Dios le quitó la familia. Entonces, él nunca se, nunca cree que va a tener el perdón.
So there are people that think there's no forgiveness for them because look what God has taken their kids, taken everyone because of their guilt.
Hay personas que se han aislado.
So there are people that have isolated themselves.
Hay personas que tienen problemas psicológicos.
That have problems, psychological problems.
Y hay personas que no han resistido y se han quitado la vida.
And there are others that haven't been able to resist and they kill themselves.
Y a veces por micrófonos.
And sometimes through microphones.
Por altoparlantes.
You know, and through loudspeakers.
Los teólogos the theologians están diciendo,
are saying, Mitch is a punishment from God. Convert.
El otro que viene va a ser más fuerte.
And the next punishment is going to be much stronger
no se han convertido.
Because you guys haven't
malos.
Repented, you're bad. ¿Se puede hablar un poco de cómo es Dios según la teología popular entonces? I'm asking now we're going to move into just a description of this God of popular theology, you know, kind of grassroots theology. Mm-hmm. ¿Cómo es Dios? Sí.
Según la teología popular, Dios es un Dios ingrato.
Ingrato, ¿qué
sí. Un Dios que no tiene compasión de la gente.
God, according to popular theology, the average person sees God as a God who has no compassion on anybody.
Un Dios que en vez de traer a la persona,
a God who instead of bringing someone,
más bien la rechaza,
rejects people.
Porque el problema se agudiza cuando los teólogos predican,
the problem gets worse when theologians, when they preach the God of punishment.
Y cuando uno sufre algún problema en la vida,
and then when someone suffers a problem in life, lose a loved one,
ya la imagen de Dios ya la tiene uno que es un Dios de castigo.
Then the image of God stays there. The image of God is not caring. Is
un Dios que
punishes.
Que mata.
God kills. A murdering God.
Decimos mucho allá en Honduras. Un Dios que clasifica las personas buenas.
Yeah, this is a God who classifies the good people.
Y que las personas malas entonces.
And separates them from the bad people.
Aunque Mitch llevó parejo.
Although Mitch took everyone, he took good and the bad.
Yo no sé si tienen alguna ampliación
ahí. Y las iglesias también. The churches too were wiped out. Whatever Catholic.
Yeah. One of the things that the Protestant churches were saying, many Protestant churches here, these are more fundamentalist churches, but they're there aren't any, you know, mainline churches that I know of. I mean, maybe one small, I mean, a couple of mainline churches, but it's mainly, you know, the traditional Roman Catholic and then more fundamentalist churches, right? And there isn't really an alternative between those two extremes. And a lot of the fundamentalist churches were saying that Mitch happened because a big, huge statue of Jesus was placed above the town of Tegucigalpa, a huge statue, and they said it was because this idol was set up that God had sent this disaster. But of course, it doesn't make any sense because many evangelical churches were swept away along with other Catholic churches and, you know, neighborhoods where there were a lot of people that were active Catholic, active, you know, Pentecostals as well as people that weren't part of any church, so.
Is it the Catholic Church that is proclaiming this same message?
La Iglesia Católica también proclama este mensaje? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there any different influence of theology of the liberation? Do they know the name of Paulo Freire in Brazil?
Yeah, we've talked about that. But, you know, definitely there are places where there are liberation theologians who interpret it differently. But see, the countries, these are people that are usually isolated in some region where, you know, maybe they are able to interpret with their people, you know, in some department where they have, you know, where there's some priests and, you know, nuns and, you know, people that have that mentality, but it's a drop in the bucket compared to the dominant sort of religious scene.
Estoy están preguntando si hay gente de la teología de la liberación que habla de Mitch en una manera diferente. Entonces yo le dije que quizás sí, pero en lugares aislados.
Y bien poquito.
And very little, very, very little. There's not much of an alternative voice that's heard.
No con altoparlantes, no con la fuerza.
They're not speaking with, you know, with megaphones and, you know, with the force that the other groups are speaking. You know, the alternative voice.
Porque hay una cosa, uno la trae desde niño, esa teología.
See, because there's a reality that people have this as a, from childhood, this image of God. Por ejemplo.
Vaya, por ejemplo, Cuando uno está niño,
for example, as when you're a child,
Dios te va a castigar.
They'll always, your parents will always say God will punish you.
Si haces tal cosa,
if you
Dios
do this thing, God will punish you.
Entonces, uno ya trae eso en la mente.
So we have this in our minds.
De un Dios castigador.
Of a God who's a God punishing God.
Entonces, cuando uno o un familiar sufre un problema,
so when a family member suffers
Dios,
a problem, punishment from God.
Te fijas.
See, look. It's a punishment from God.
Entonces, convertite.
So convert, you know, repent.
Entonces, si aparece un teólogo diciendo que no es castigo de Dios.
So if a theologian comes along and says, no, it's not a punishment from God.
Es como que aparezca, vaya, desde un solo pescadito en un océano.
It's like maybe a little tiny fish in a giant ocean who's saying that.
Y que haya muchos tiburones y ballenas alrededor.
And there's huge sharks that are all around it.
No es capaz.
People aren't able.
De que su voz escuche,
that little fish can't be heard.
Y de que cambie la mente,
and it can't,
de una persona
incapable
ya,
of changing the mind of someone who has that problem.
That ha perdido su casa, su cosecha, su
someone
familia.
Has lost their harvest, their house, their family.
Entonces, no, se mira chiquito a cada persona,
that person is seen as very small.
En comparación a toda la tradición,
compared to that whole tradition
que ha traído que otra persona,
that everyone has
de Dios.
Of God.
What's the reaction when someone asks, well, what's the evil that, what was so evil about Honduras compared to the United States, or pick a major city, Chicago, Minneapolis, which haven't suffered?
¿Cuál es la reacción, por ejemplo, si una persona compara Honduras y los pecados de Honduras a un país como los Estados Unidos o una ciudad como Chicago, que no ha sufrido así? ¿Verdad? Porque algunos países y lugares que son muy, muy malos no han sufrido y Honduras ha sufrido. ¿Es que Honduras es mucho peor? ¿O es que la gente habla de estas cosas?
Los teólogos casi no hacen comparaciones.
¿Cómo?
Casi no hacen comparaciones.
The theologians don't make comparisons with each other. With other.
Y por lo común, la gente que no sufre es buena.
¿Cómo?
La gente que no sufre problemas es que es buena.
Yeah, but commonly the people that don't suffer those kind of problems are considered to be good people.
Entonces no hay, no, la gente no ni tiende a pensar esas cosas. Yeah. Se frustra de una manera que dice yo soy malo y ese es un castigo de Dios y cuesta mucho. Tendría que ir un teólogo, un predicador a una persona frustrada.
You'd have to go one by one, you know, putting a theologian to a per, you know, per person who's frustrated, you know.
Y tendría que tomar mucho tiempo.
And you have to take a lot of time.
Porque esta persona ha traído aquello desde niño.
Because this is a mentality that people have from childhood. Okay. Well, we're gonna.
I just wanted to say one thing. I think from the time that they're children. In a poor country, we grow up thinking that poverty also is the will of God and is a punishment from God.
Yeah, desde que uno es niño, pues, una persona tiene esta interpretación de que la pobreza es voluntad de Dios. No sé si serio, si usted puede contar un poquito más cómo es la imagen de Dios desde niño hasta cuáles son las imágenes de Dios que están promovidos ahí. Por ejemplo, para ustedes.
Para mí, pues, cuando yo empecé a tener de conocimiento.
When I began to have some kind of remembering and knowledge,
pues para mí era un Dios que había que temerle.
I saw God as someone who you had to fear.
¿Por qué? Porque
why? Because
a uno le, por cualquier mal creencia que hacía uno se portaba mal, decían Dios te va a castigar.
Because for whatever bad thing that you did, you were told God is going to punish you.
Y por ejemplo cuando venían Semana Santa,
like when Holy Week would come.
Solo le daban a uno martes y miércoles.
You'd only have
pudiera tomar
Tuesday and Wednesday to work.
Comer cualquier golosina.
And you could eat anything you wanted those days.
Por ejemplo, yo a mí me gustaba con mis hermanitos me gustaba bastante chupar caña.
And I like to suck sugar cane, eat sugar cane with my little brothers.
Mi papá me decía solo el miércoles hasta las 12 los quiero ver con machete.
My dad would say, only until 2 o'clock on Wednesday I want to see you with a machete. Then
entonces,
you have to put it down.
Nosotros corríamos y
so we ran and
y hacíamos los cabitos
de and we made así. Little tiny pieces of sugar. We got them all ready, the sugar cane pieces.
Y suplicamos a él que nos diera permiso siquiera de chupar aquel poquito de
caña. And we asked our dad if we could have permission to suck on those little pieces and, you know, eat the piece of sugar cane.
Y si uno, por ejemplo, por agarrar un machete,
and if you grabbed the machete,
escondida porque no lo iban a ver y lo miraban,
and you hit it, and then they saw it, like then they would punish us.
Entonces uno se cría ya con esa mentalidad.
So we're raised up with that mentality.
Por ejemplo, si uno iba a bañar,
so if you're going to bathe,
jueves,
if you,
viernes,
if you bathe, you can bathe on Thursday and Friday.
Entonces se iba al río o a cualquier parte.
You could go to the river or wherever.
Un lavamanos se sacaba el agua y se venía a tirarla a una piedra afuera. Porque tenía
and you had to get the water and you had to bathe on a rock away from the water, river.
Tenía uno una le hacían creer que si uno se bañaba en una poza.
Because we had a belief that if you
castigo, if you ser sirena.
That if you bathe during Holy Week in the river that you would stay, I mean you would go crazy.
Y entonces uno por miedo a quedar animal para toda la
dentro. You become like an animal, you know, and so for
entonces,
fear
hacia,
of
being encima de unas piedras.
Sirena,
sí.
Oh, you become a mermaid. Okay. You become a mermaid if you bathe during Holy Week in a river. And so for fear of not wanting to be a mermaid the rest of your life, you had to bathe outside of the river.
Entonces,
and that was seen as a punishment
ese,
from God.
Ese miedo,
so there was a fear.
Ese miedo. Primero lo hacía uno y se trepaba, sacaba, uno le echaba la mano al otro, se estaba ahí haciendo una piedra.
So we'd send up the water, the buckets entonces, of water up to some one of our little brothers who was up on a rock above.
Decía uno, hacete así de nada primero. Y así lo podíamos bañar jueves y viernes.
And so we could bathe on it, well, Thursday and Friday that way.
Se cría y pues hombre. Digamos que cuando yo me crié esa era la filosofía de Dios para
and this was the philosophy of God that we had when I was raised.
Entonces eso ya viene desde y para cambiarla ya.
And so that comes from, you know, an early age, and so to change that. Yes. And then
sí. Y había hay un problema. El castigo no puede ser para la persona que desobedece, sino para toda para la familia.
And the punishment isn't just for the person that disobeys, but it's for the whole family or for the community.
When aid came in after the floods and everything, how did they reconcile that with God?
Y cuando la ayuda venía de las iglesias y todo después de las inundaciones, ¿cómo reconciliaron esto con Dios? ¿Cómo es que la gente miraron esto en su teología, pues?
Yo creo que había personas que ni comprendía de dónde venía la ayuda.
There were a lot of people that didn't understand or comprehend where this aid came from.
Porque decía, el gobierno decía, yo y mis gobiernos amigos.
Some would say, ¿cómo?
Yo doy porque me han dado mis gobiernos amigos, mis compañeros de gobiernos amigos, los vecinos de Estados Unidos, México. Entonces, el gobierno canalizaba.
Yeah, the government canalized, channeled money that was given.
Y había unas iglesias también trabajando fuerte.
And there were a lot of churches that were working very hard.
Yo no he podido hablar con la gente directamente porque la gente que fueron esas ayudas fueron a la zona de Choluteca.
There were a lot of people on the Bay Islands and in Choluteca in the south of Honduras that received this help, and I haven't been able to talk with them.
Pero también lo miraban como una ayuda, pero la imagen de Dios no la cambiaron.
People saw it as a help, but they saw it as not as a help from God.
Lo miraban como una solidaridad de las iglesias.
They saw it as solidarity from the churches.
Hasta la vez hay iglesias trabajando mucho en Honduras.
Because now there are still churches that are working very hard in Honduras. Pero hay iglesias que solo da a su gente también.
Claro que sí.
But there's also churches that only give to their people that are members in their churches and don't give to anyone else.
La iglesia católica para su gente.
The Catholic Church only gives aid to people that are active Catholics.
Para su gente.
And the other churches only to the people that are active in their churches.
Si hay una persona, vaya como yo, que no pertenezco a ninguna iglesia.
If there's someone like me who doesn't belong to any one church.
Entonces, al tener un problema de clase,
if I have a problem like, you know, losing my house,
tenía que verme las no sé cómo sería.
I don't know how I'd get help. No sé, Rocío, si quiere hablar un poco de las imágenes de Dios.
desde niño hasta presente?
Pues hay mucha similitud entre la concepción de Dios en Honduras y en la de México.
There are many similarities between the concept of God in Honduras and in Mexico.
Generalmente, pues yo me crié, yo creo que por la misma situación.
Generally, I was raised in the same situation.
Mi padre siempre se negó a creer en nada, era completamente ateo.
But my father, he denied believing in anything, he was completely atheist.
Pero mi mamá y su familia era muy diferente.
But my mother and her family, they were completely different.
Como yo me crié con unos años en mi niñez con mi familia materna, con abuelos.
I was raised by my grandmother and on the mother's side with aunts, by aunts.
Todos ellos eran católicos.
And all of them, they were Catholic.
Y de todos mis hermanos, creo que fui la que más.
And from all of my brothers and sisters, I was the one who was most
más religiosa.
The most religious.
Espiritualidad.
And had the most spirituality.
Pero lo curioso es que desde niña a mí me tocó, nosotros somos, yo digo, católicos.
But from childhood, you know, we were Catholic.
Las misas, el primer sacerdote que yo conocí era un anciano.
The first priest that I knew was an old man.
Lo recuerdo.
I remember him perfectly.
Íbamos a misa.
We'd go to mass.
A misa de 8 porque era la misa de niños.
We'd go to mass at 8 o'clock, and that was the mass for the children.
La iglesia se tenía que cerrar si no llegaba uno a tiempo.
And if you didn't arrive on time, they would shut the door, and people would be stuck outside.
Y eran regaños.
And the priest would ball us out.
De hecho, para nosotros. Nosotros decimos, es muy común entre nosotros decir que nos echó un sermón porque sermón para nosotros es sinónimo de regaño.
And it's common for us to say that we were given a sermon because for us a sermon is synonymous with a scolding.
Y eso fue lo primero que yo aprendí de la iglesia.
And that's the first thing that I learned from the church about God.
Más adelante.
Later.
Conocimos alguno que otro sacerdote que era más liberal, más diferente. Pero la cuestión era la misma.
But it was the same question.
La educación desde la familia empieza.
The
la cuestión
in the family is where it begins in terms of our religiosity.
Y la gente mexicana aquí piensa como yo pensaba.
And Mexican people here in the United States think like I thought.
En cuanto a la voluntad de Dios,
as far as the will
en
of God
cuanto
goes,
a regañar a los niños, con Dios te va a castigar,
you know,
si no obedeces.
People commonly will say God will punish you if you don't obey to the children.
Y es una cosa que viene de abuelos, madres, hijos,
mothers to children.
Y es, yo creo que es tan difícil de quitar eso.
And I think it's so hard to get rid of this.
Realmente uno se aleja. Toda mi familia, generalmente mis hermanos, de todos mis hermanos, soy la única que asiste a una iglesia.
Of all my brothers and sisters, I'm the only
por
one that goes to a church for this
soy
reason.
Soy la única definitivamente. Y tal vez siguiera igual, porque. Al menos los latinos que viven por acá son gente que van a iglesias pentecostales.
Most of the Latinos that live here, they will go to Pentecostal churches.
Cuadrangulares.
Or four square churches.
Estuvimos en un contacto así. Bueno, a mi hija me la cuidaba una señora.
My daughter was taken care of by a woman.
Que era bautista.
Who was Baptist.
Y había un niño que de la misma edad de mi hijo.
And there was a child who was the same age as my daughter.
Seguido le hablaba del infierno.
And he would always speak to my daughter about the hell, about hell.
Y una de las cosas que a mí nunca me gustó fue ese.
And this is something I didn't like at all. Is
o sea que.
You know, it's making people fearful.
O sea, yo no quería educar a mi niña con temor a Dios.
I didn't want to educate my child with fear of God, that kind of fear of God.
Y tampoco quería que fuera alejada de Dios.
But I didn't want my daughter to be alienated from God either, far from God.
La verdad es que cuando yo llegué a Burlington, yo empecé a asistir a los estudios bíblicos.
What happened to me is when I moved to Burlington, I began to assist Bible studies.
En la Iglesia Católica.
In the Catholic Church.
Pero el que estaba dando los estudios bíblicos.
But the person who was giving the Bible studies.
Era un pastor presbiteriano.
Was a Presbyterian pastor.
Y con ellos, con él y con su esposa,
and with
yo,
that person
yo
and his
aprendí
wife,
otra cosa.
I learned something different.
Completamente diferente.
Completely different.
O sea, eso me ha motivado a seguir aprendiendo más.
And that motivated me to learn more and to
a los estudios bíblicos,
and to continue going to the Bible studies.
A ver de diferente manera.
To see things,
o sea,
differently.
Es busca uno busca y busca y busca,
so, one
y quiere
seeks,
uno
seeks,
aprender
seeks,
más y más.
We want to learn more
de esa manera.
From this way of seeing God.
Y también enseñarle a mi hija de esa manera.
And I want to teach my daughter
no
this
hay way. Un Dios de castigo.
That there's not this God of punishment.
Porque es verdad.
I was wondering if the mentality of fear doesn't go way back to the conquistadors. Because
quizás esta mentalidad de miedo va hasta los conquistadores.
When they came to the New World, they either converted them or killed them.
Cuando ellos llegaron al Nuevo Mundo, ellos convirtieron a la gente o bien lo mataron.
And punishments were meted out
y castigos fueron dados
followers.
A la gente que no eran seguidores.
And somehow it's a matter of control.
Y es una cuestión de control.
Control.
La iglesia quiere controlar a la gente.
En toda la historia de México, la iglesia,
the entire history of Mexico,
la iglesia católica,
the Catholic Church,
siempre se ha visto la mano de la iglesia católica,
has always been present
en la historia de México.
In the history of Mexico.
Por eso fue que el gobierno fue tan duro con la iglesia católica.
And that's why the government was so strong against the Catholic Church.
Y ahora la iglesia del estado están muy separados.
And now the church and state are very separated.
Las escuelas son completamente laicas.
And the church the schools are completely secular.
Las universidades
and universities too.
Jamás se toca a Dios.
Never do they talk about
it. Es más, es algo como que es como algo ridículo
que
los jóvenes vayan a iglesia o que estén invitados en iglesias. O sea, porque la iglesia predominante es la católica.
The dominant church in Mexico is the Catholic Church.
Y hay una cosa que yo nunca supe.
And there's something
la diferencia entre iglesias católicas
the difference between Catholic churches
y los protestantes
and the Protestants.
Y las sectas,
and the sects,
los evangelistas
sects, like
y todos esos, ¿no? Para nosotros,
for us,
era los católicos
Catholics
y los protestantes. Porque las iglesias realmente protestantes,
because churches that are truly Protestant,
no tienen mayoría,
they don't
son
have,
poquitas.
They're very small minority.
Entonces, no sabemos la diferencia.
So we don't know the differences.
Es mejor entonces o es mal.
Es mal. O sea, que haya tan poquitos.
Yeah, it's bad, she's saying that there are so few Protestant churches.
O sea, porque si tal vez hubiera más iglesias presbiterianas más fuertes, si la iglesia presbiteriana fuera más fuerte,
if the Presbyterian Church or Lutheran churches were stronger.
O la metodista, tal
Methodist
vez,
church,
pues iglesias de ese tipo,
churches
¿verdad?
That are of this type.
Pero no, tal vez la que más abunda es la pentecostal.
But what you have is most abundant is the Pentecostal church.
Que son tan de líneas tan duras.
That are very strong, hard-line churches.
Que son extremas.
That are extreme churches.
O no sé, tal vez sean de la misma situación que la Iglesia Católica.
Oh, maybe they're in the same situation as the Catholic Church.
Entonces, ¿a qué irle? No sabemos a qué.
So where do we go? We don't know where to go.
Si no es a la Iglesia Católica.
If it's not to the Catholic Church, where?
A nada mejor.
Nowhere, maybe.
Nada.
Nothing.
Sí, aquí solo aquí.
But in the Old Testament, God often punished nations for disobeying.
Yeah, en el Antiguo Testamento, Dios muchas veces castigó naciones para desobedecer.
That's true, but one of the problems is there's not people are not trained to discern, you know, the hand of God, the presence of God. It's just assumed that whatever happens is God's will.
La gente no están preparados para discernir la voluntad de Dios y la mano de Dios, ¿verdad? Lo que pasa es voluntad de Dios, ¿verdad? ¿No?
Y la gente mira que lo que pasa, no importa lo que sea, pues más que todo lo malo es voluntad de Dios, ¿verdad?
So basically, you know? This fatalism, you know, whatever happens, happens, and you can't control it. So that's why you see a lot of bus drivers just going as fast as they want, because they say, if we're going to live, we're going to live, if we're going to die, we're going to die. There's nothing you can do to change God.
Dice que hay muchos que miran que no hay, no se puede hacer nada, porque lo que va a pasar es voluntad de Dios. Entonces, si corro aquí en este camino, y pues si me va a morir, de todas maneras voy a morir porque mi tiempo es.
Muchos pastores se sostienen en la parte del Nuevo Testamento, cuando donde dice que no todos los el pelo de está contado y que no se mueven la hoja sin la voluntad de Dios.
Yeah, many people use the text that says that, you know, all of our hairs are counted and nothing happens without the will of God. You know, they use texts like that to talk about this kind of high providence, high image of providence, view of providence. Pero una cosa es que todas las cosas son vistas de voluntad de Dios, o más que todas las cosas malas. I'm asking, you know, is everything seen as will of God, or mostly bad things?
Sí, parece que hay como pobreza sobre el conocimiento de la palabra de Dios, va en algún sentido porque.
¿Cómo? ¿Pobreza de qué?
De la palabra de Dios.
There's a poverty in terms of the word of God, knowledge of the word of God in our country.
Porque si a un agricultor no le sirvió la milpa.
Because if someone's cornfield didn't go well.
Sí, pues fue la voluntad de Dios.
People will say it's the will of God.
Si se le murió la vaca.
If the cow dies.
Dice que Dios me la quitó.
They said God took it from me.
Si cualquier fracaso que le pase.
Whatever failure happens.
Es la voluntad de Dios.
It's called the will of God.
Ahí es el conformismo.
And there's a conformity about things.
Y cosas buenas también.
Sí. Es que las cosas buenas son vistas como voluntad de Dios.
Sí, los mexicanos sí. Lo ven así también.
Mexican people would see good things as well as God.
Sí,
too.
También lo ven. O sea, muchas veces son que tienen una buena cosecha.
If you have a good harvest, people might say thank you.
Mandan a decir una misa y.
And maybe they would ask someone to do a mass or something. Step down. Okay.
So, does the general population assume that the United States is a much more ethical and?
Just get that.
You know, one of the responses is that.
I'm serious.
La gente mira que los Estados Unidos, por ejemplo, es más ético, más santo, más bueno. O sea, es que los ricos son vistos como buenos y los pobres malos, entonces.
Algo así.
Yeah, so I'm asking him, well, are rich people seen as good and bad, and poor people bad? And he said, yes, something like that.
En México, no.
En México, no. No. Not in Mexico. No.
Porque dentro de las iglesias católicas, a veces los que colaboran, los que dan el, ¿cómo le llaman? En la colecta.
The people that do give more, who can construct, you know, make new construction projects in the church or whatever, who, you know, the offering. These are people that seem as having a higher preference in terms of God. Someone who can't give, they're seen as like not having as much.
So the oppressiveness of the wealthy is totally negated or substantially negated as evil.
Entonces el hecho de que los ricos son opresores, eso está negado. No está visto como la razón de la pobreza por la mucha gente.
No.
Yeah, most people don't see they don't see that as the explanation. Yeah.
Y hay una cosa que tiene la gente que dice yo soy salvo por lo que hago.
And the people would say something like, I'm saved because of what I do.
Por lo que dono.
Because of what I give.
Y entonces, el pobre que no puede hacer mucho,
so a poor person who can't do much and give much,
parece que tiene la salvación un poquito más.
They feel like salvation is much less of a likelihood.
So how does this view of God fit with what you were talking about yesterday of the raining of the fish?
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Okay. Ella está haciendo una buena pregunta. ¿Cómo es que esta imagen de Dios va con lo que pasa con la lluvia de pescados y todo eso, ¿no? ¿Verdad? Porque hablamos ayer de eso, ¿no? Entonces, yo le dije que vamos a hablar de eso enseguida.
Does illiteracy have something to do with this in that the average citizen cannot read?
¿Usted cree que la falta de alfabetización tiene algo que ver con eso porque mucha gente no puede leer las escrituras?
Sí, ha habido parte de muy atrás, que la, por ejemplo, toda la Biblia parece que estaban en un idioma latín.
In the past, you know, everything was just in the masses were all in Latin and Bibles in Latin.
Y si uno asistía a cualquier iglesia, lo que oía que
and if you went to a church, what you'd hear,
por ejemplo,
the priest speak is all Latin.
Nadie entendía nada.
Nobody understood anything.
Salía como que así como entraba.
So they come out of the church the same way they left the church. Came into the church.
Hasta de un poco acá es que nosotros
and it's just recently
ya el mundo ha despertado porque ya puede leer la Biblia.
It's recent that now people are able to read the Bible for the first time.
Entonces eso viene desde la creación del mundo.
So this comes from the creation of the world, I mean, from a long ways back.
Wow. Problem. Entonces, ahora tenemos una oportunidad.
So now we have the opportunity.
De saber que, de tu niña la Biblia.
¿No? Pero es que la lectura de la Biblia está promovida.
Sí. En la Iglesia Católica no está promovida.
In the Catholic Church, the reading of the Bible is not promoted in general.
Porque yo he tratado de promover.
Because I've tried to promote the reading of the Bible.
Pequeña en mi comunidad.
In my community, in the Catholic Church.
Pero he sido visto un poco raro ahí.
But I've been seen as strange and as a bird of different feathers.
Yo he observado a los líderes de la Iglesia Católica.
And I've seen the leaders of the Catholic Church.
Pero a veces
have an attitude towards
a veces them. Ellos no llegan, entonces yo llego. Entonces hablo con la gente. La gente tiene
sometimes
miedo.
The leaders of the Catholic Church don't come, so I go and I speak
abrir una Biblia. Tiene miedo porque people, iba a hallar la condenación.
People are afraid to open the Bible because they think they're going to find their condemnation, their sentence.
Ahí va a hallar que si no hace
they're going to find that if you don't do this,
cosas,
these all these things,
hacer, entonces, al infierno.
You're going to go to hell.
Entonces mejor, ¿cómo sea? Mejor ignora.
And so it's better just to ignore. Better to ignore
la Biblia,
the Bible. Better to ignore the Word of God.
One thing I wanted to say too is that there's really been selective reading, and if a one person in a community has the power of reading the scriptures, like say it's the priest,
hay lectura selectiva, porque si una persona tiene poder para leer, si es un pastor, un sacerdote, entonces ellos leen lo que ellos quieren. Ellos no oyen.
When they open the book, you know, the good word for the first time, they see that there's good news for them. They're surprised, and they, where did this ever come from?
Y cuando la gente lee la Biblia por primera vez y ve buena novela, ellos están sorprendidos.
Pero muchas veces la gente está tan lavada del cerebro.
But many times people are so brainwashed.
¿Cuánta gente no conozco yo que conoce la Biblia, se sabe de memoria?
There's so many people that know the Bible that have paragraphs and whole paragraphs memorized.
Pero va por el lado malo.
But they go for the
por el lado negativo,
the negative images
por donde está el castigo, por donde están los elegidos.
They think about those that are chosen.
Conocen más ese lado.
They know this part of the Bible and they teach this.
Le enseñan más ese lado.
They teach the negative side of the Bible.
De la persona que se acerque, ¿verdad?
Por ejemplo, las iglesias evangélicas, ellos ofrecen algo diferente. I'm asking whether the evangelical churches offer an alternative image of God. ¿Tiene una imagen de Dios diferente, más de amor y más?
Sí, pero siempre con reglamentos, con requisitos.
So the evangelical churches may promote love, but they always have lots of rules and requirements.
Por ejemplo, ¿cuál es un ejemplo?
Por ejemplo, uno es levantar la mano.
One is you have to raise your hand. Except Christ.
Y que la conversión de la persona es en un abrir y cerrar de ojos.
And the other is that the conversion happens in the opening and closing of the eyes.
Entonces, a esta persona,
conversion is like an immediate thing where you raise your hand, you're converted.
Que tal vez movida por la preocupación.
And maybe
Dios lo va a castigar,
maybe
levanta la mano.
You're moved by the worry that God's going to punish you, so you raise your hand.
Tal vez habla una o dos semanas que él está convertido.
And so they are converted.
Semana,
but the third week,
ya tal vez se tomó una cerveza,
maybe that person has a beer or something,
o cualquier cosita,
or they are a cigarette or whatever.
Yo ya me perdí.
And so they feel oh, I've now
lost.
And they completely pull away from the church.
Uh-huh. Sí.
Because that's what the church promotes, the evangelical churches, you know. If you drink, smoke, dance, hang out with Catholics, you're condemned.
No empiezan una formación con la Biblia directamente a la persona.
There's not a formation that people have in the scriptures.
No importando cómo está la persona, qué condiciones está. No importando eso, sino que ellos miran la condición de la persona.
¿Cómo?
Ellos miran la condición de la persona. Y dicen, esta persona está bien, entonces tú sí tienes la salvación. Pero cuando la persona está mal, bien, ¿no?
They look at the immediate condition of the person and say, okay, this person is doing well, they're saved, you have saved salvation. But if they go bad, if they start drinking, they start to get frustrated, and they pull away from the church and they're considered dead.
Y esa persona ya no asiste a ninguna iglesia.
And this person won't go to any church. Yes?
So if the scripture, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom, we should take the scissors and cut that out and start someplace else, I guess. And I don't mean to make light of this, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just saying there must be another way, another priority list, another way we've got to address this.
Because yeah, right.
That's the one that's being zeroed in on.
Yeah.
And we need to prioritize and say, if you're going to get the right message out, we have to put that lower down on the list. We may get to it sometime.
Right.
Okay?
Sí, por ejemplo, dice en la Biblia que el miedo de Dios es el principio de la sabiduría, pero quizás hay que dejar esto para hablar después, porque parece que eso es la única, el mensaje que la gente está oyendo, nada más, el miedo de Dios.
En minas de oro.
En minas de oro, their village anyway.
Está en un instituto evangélico.
There's an evangelical church
school. Está escrito.
And it says right above it.
El principio de la sabiduría es el temor de Dios.
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Está escrito en letras grandes.
It's written in big letters.
It's just a statement. It seems to me that this Catholic Church is right back where it was before the Reformation, with the devil.
Dice que parece que en la Iglesia Católica en estos lugares está igual a donde estaba antes de la Reformación, de la Iglesia, que la Reformación que provocó Martin Luther y todo eso. Yeah, but the evangelical churches are right back there too. There's no alternative, you know, and the mainline churches are absent from the scene. All they do is they help with relief, you know, aid, direct aid, but there's no proclamation. I mean, when I say no, I can't think of hardly any examples where mainline churches are involved in a ministry of proclamation. It's almost always a ministry of pure, you know, economic aid or, you know, direct aid to communities, but without opening the Bible, without, you know, talking about God, you know, new images of God. Verdad que quizás las iglesias protestantes hacen cosas, pero ellos solo dan ayuda, dan maíz, dan frijoles, pero no hablan nada de un mensaje de verdad. Nuevo, pues.
Y una cosa de la que me preocupa en Honduras es la competencia por quién tiene más gente.
And one of the things I'm really worried about is there's a competition about who has the most people in the churches.
How it began to change.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that right now. We need to move there because it's almost time for dinner. Ahora yo quiero, ella tiene la pregunta, ¿cómo es que ustedes empezaron a cambiar? ¿Cómo salieron un poco de su imagen, esas imágenes perversas de Dios? Sí, David, sí, José.
Sí. Bueno, voy a hablar de mi persona.
I want to speak personally about myself.
Hace 19 años yo empecé a estudiar la Biblia.
About 19 years ago I began to study the Bible.
No en una forma no formal, se puede decir.
Not in a formal way.
Pero en la Iglesia Católica.
I began to study it in this Catholic Church.
Trabajé 4 años para la Iglesia Católica.
I worked 4 years for the Catholic Church.
Pero
as a delegate of the word.
Siempre pensando y hablando de ese Dios de castigo.
But I was always thinking about and speaking about this God of punishment.
Siempre, si hubiera sucedido el mis,
if Hurricane Mitch had happened at that time,
trabajaba con la iglesia, yo hubiera dicho sí.
I would have said yes. That's punishment from God.
Para que se fijen.
So people would pay attention.
Entonces, me hubiera servido de apoyo más bien a mí para.
And that would have helped me so that I could. I could speak to the people. I would have used it too.
Pero yo llegué a conocer un poco sobre el amor de Dios.
But I began to learn about the love of God.
No les puedo decir cómo, porque mi mente ya estaba para un Dios de castigo.
I can't really say how, because my mind was totally in this mentality of a punishing God.
Llegó la familia Ebla,
but the Ekblad family came.
No hablándome de teología.
They didn't came speaking to me about theology.
Sino hablándome de la conservación de suelo.
They talked about conserving soil.
Ingresos para mi casa, para mi hogar.
Which was a way for me to have income for my home.
Entonces, a mí me llamó la atención.
And that interested me.
Entonces, empecé a trabajar.
So I began to work.
Aún estando siempre con la Iglesia Católica.
And I was still in the Catholic Church at that time.
Con ellos,
working
pero,
with them.
Pero no en teología. Ellos no me enseñaban una Biblia.
But they never taught me how to read the Bible or anything. We never did.
Más bien me animaban a seguir adelante.
But they just encouraged me to continue with the Catholic Church.
Entonces, luego fui invitado a estudios bíblicos.
And then I was invited to Bible studies.
Pero para mí era algo como que me hablaban en contra de lo que yo pensaba, de lo que yo sentía.
But for me it was like I was being spoken to in a way that was contrary to what I thought.
Había unos textos en la Biblia que yo ni los había visto.
There were texts in the Bible that I never had seen.
Entonces ya fui viéndolos y analizándolos con todos los compañeros.
And I was seeing them and analyzing them with him and with all the companions. About 20 other friends in Honduras.
Y coordinados por él.
Coordinated with us.
Y por otros
and others,
pastores,
other pastors
que trabajaban con él,
that worked with us.
Entonces, pero hace 16 años.
But about 16 years ago, that's when I began to do that.
Entonces, yo he sentido que es un proceso, pero bien lento. Bien
I feel
lento,
like it's a process. It's a very slow,
demasiado
slow process.
Lento.
Too slow.
Tan lento que la persona que vaya Roberto, que es el encargado del partido de estudios bíblicos, puede llegar a desesperarse y decir David no sirve para nada.
So slow, so slow that I felt like Roberto, who is in charge of working with me, would probably just finally get fed up and say David is worthless. He can't learn anything.
Y a veces me revelaba.
¿Cómo?
A veces me revelaba un poco. No estaba de acuerdo con su.
Yeah, sometimes I rebelled against against his theology. I wasn't agreeing.
Y había veces que no quería llegar al estudio bíblico.
And there were times that I never wanted to go to the Bible study.
Pero al fin llegaba.
But finally I would come.
Y luego, pero muy despacio.
But very slowly.
Ya fui viendo.
I began to see.
Y aún no. Siento que estoy empezando.
And even now I feel like I'm beginning.
Pero sí, cada día estoy afirmando más.
But every day I'm affirming more and
more
a concept that God is a God of love.
Pero me ha costado mucho.
But it's taken me a lot of time.
Porque desde niñito yo fui formado en con esa teología de castigo.
Because from a little childhood I've been formed with this image of God as a God of punishment.
Ha costado mucho. A mí me ha costado mucho. Yo sé que a Roberto le ha costado millones de palabras.
And I know it's taken Roberto millions of words.
Y todavía le sigue
costando un poco. Still I haven't made it.
Y una de las cosas es también que la persona que predica que habla de los que coordinan los estudios bíblicos,
the person who coordinates Bible studies,
esté un poco cerca de uno,
needs to be close to
y solidaria
to you, in solidarity with you.
Es una tarea muy dura para yo sé que
it's a very difficult task.
Tratar de empezar a cambiar la mente de una persona.
We try to begin to change the mind of a person.
Sí, es Dios que va haciendo ese trabajo.
It's God who does this work.
Pero bien lento.
But this is slowly.
Y cualquier líder religioso se puede desesperar.
Whatever any religious leader could get completely discouraged, desperate.
Está dando estudios bíblicos a un grupo de personas.
Giving Bible studies with a person.
Y está llegando.
And coming.
Y parece que no ha obtenido nada.
It appears like they're not achieving anything. I work in a jail, and I do two Bible studies a week and spit to inmates from Mexico. And I've, been doing it for 5 years now since we left Honduras. And I see transformation. I see people's images of God change. When I talk about God, one of the first questions that I, or what things that I say in a text, I say in the Gospels, is, well, who is God? If Jesus is healing this leper and casting out this demon, and what did the leper do? Well, the leper didn't do anything. The leper, maybe the leper cried out, but maybe Jesus just ran into the leper. The leper was brought to Jesus, and
the fact that Jesus heals them, what does that tell us about God? You know, and I try to encourage people to envision God through Jesus. But and that's something that's brand new for most of almost every inmate that I run into. Not just Mexican inmates, but a lot of white inmates as well, Native American folks. You know, and that's one thing that we haven't talked about, but popular theology in Latin America, and not just in Latin America, many places, envisions God outside of Christ. You know, Jesus really doesn't have a role to play in most popular theology. This is an all-powerful God, okay, and this is the God who's the God of history, the God of history, the God of nature, the God of everything, and that God is responsible for everything. You know, the bad and the good, but since the poor seem to get mostly bad things happening to them, then God must be against them, okay? It's just logical, right? But there's no image of God as a God who's down there with you in the pain of you know, in difficulties of life. ¿Verdad? Que no hay una imagen de Dios como un Dios que está empapado en los problemas de uno.
No.
Yeah.
There are exceptions, though. I mean, because in my experience in Latin America, in Honduras, it's exactly this. And then I went to the Dominican Republic, and it was even worse.
Dice que hay excepciones cuando yo fui a Honduras fue exactamente eso.
In El Salvador, I found a number of communities that were very, very hopeful.
Pero en El Salvador, miré comunidades diferentes que
me daban más esperanza. The birth of Jesus Christ in their lives and in their communities.
En Nicaragua también.
Not as good as El Salvador, sort of a mix. Some communities that had very, very negative images of God, and then other communities that were drastically, drastically different.
En Nicaragua había comunidades que tenía imágenes perversas de Dios, drásticas y otros muy diferentes. And that's true in Honduras too, there's no doubt about it. No sé, Rocío, si quieres contar más de cómo que esto va cambiando en la gente, esta imagen de Dios perversa, una imagen liberada. Si hay otra gente que te ha visto.
Todo lo que sabe que de la forma de la forma de mi mamá.
One thing I want to say too is I feel like it seems like God always works through the church. I mean, there are exceptions, but I think God mostly chooses to work through the church, and if the church is not in tune with what God wants to do, then that's too bad. But that's why I think you see the opposite of God. And it's kind of, it reminds me of the fragility of the body of Jesus, you know? God chose to speak to humans through a fragile human being in Jesus. And the church, if we are the body of Christ, is that fragile vessel too. And, you know, if we're not listening to God, if we're not caring about the poor, then sometimes God doesn't exist because I just see the love being flushed out.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem.
Muchos de esos pobres no conocen a un Dios porque la iglesia no está en solidaridad con ellos. La iglesia es cuerpo de Cristo. You know,
Is it valid to try to get the Bibles to these people in their own language?
Oh yeah.
Is that a valid
ministry? Dar Biblias a la gente en su propio idioma? That's why you. Oh yeah, that helps. Yeah. But there's also a way you have to teach people how to read the scriptures, because people have a theology of a perverse God. So when they open the Bible, they're not expecting to find anything talking about grace or forgiveness or love, or they're expecting punishment. And so when they read, you know, it's like it's a red letter edition, but it's just because there's a theology of osmosis. People have an image of God that and everything that they think of is reinforced by what they see, but nothing, they don't have the eyes to see the love and, you know, the forgiveness and, you know, the gospel, the good news.
Mm-hmm. I've got to, because I'm a Gideon, I guess, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So is the back page, you know, you got the steps of salvation in the back, and that's good or bad, or does that...
As long as the steps of salvation aren't seen as requirements, I mean, as a way to self-salvation, because most people see salvation as something that's totally dependent upon you, and where God's part in the picture is totally minimal. Salvation is something that you do through making the right choices and through, you know, being a good person. And it's not seen. No, people have not heard the idea of passive salvation that is common in Lutheran circles. It hasn't trickled down to the grassroots, that idea of passive righteousness, that we're made righteous by God's act in Jesus, you know, that we are saved by the act of Jesus dying for us on the cross. You know, that is completely unknown. And I say that not completely unknown, maybe I'm speaking it too strongly, but you know, like for instance, I give Eucharist every week in the jail, and I have to discuss with people on a way regular basis. People say, well, I probably shouldn't take it because I'm not married. I'm living with my partner, or I shouldn't take it because I think I might use drugs when I get out again. I'm not convinced that I'm going to be able to stay straight. Or I shouldn't take it because I haven't officially received First Communion in the Catholic Church. Or I shouldn't take it because of this reason. I mean, there's many, many, many reasons. People, you know, and the Catholic Church itself has many requirements, you know, depending on the priest. Some priests offer a more open communion than others, but you know, like la comunión, ¿verdad? La mayor parte de la gente se siente que tiene que llenar un montón de requisitos para poder merecer las de Eucaristía, ¿verdad?
Sí, el Padre Miguel, que era tan abierto.
So there was a priest in Mount Vernon who's very open, Father Mike Holland.
Yo estuve casada con un divorciado.
Says I was married to a divorced person.
Y cuando le expliqué que yo ya estaba a punto de divorciarme
and
de él.
And when I explained that I was about ready to be divorced from this person.
Él me dijo que si ya estaba completamente separada, que si ya no vivía con él,
said if I wasn't separated, I could commune. But that's a rare thing. Eso no es muy común.
No es muy común.
You know, and you know, yo no sé cuántos de ustedes se sienten libres de comulgar en sus iglesias.
No, yo ya no puedo.
And Rocio, you know, she says, I can't commune right now in the Catholic Church.
Este sacerdote, yo me estoy preparando como pastora laica.
I'm preparing myself to be a lay pastor in the Presbyterian Church.
Y como soy católica, yo tenía que por ser católica,
I was afraid that maybe
la iglesia presbyteriana Church
wouldn't accept me into the lay pastor training.
Y me aceptó.
But they accepted me.
Pero la iglesia católica,
o sea,
el padre, el señor cura que estaba, era muy abierto.
He was very open.
Pero murió.
But he died.
Entonces, llegó uno.
And a new priest.
Joven.
A young priest.
Joven, y pensé que iba a ser muy fácil.
I thought he'd be really open.
No.
No.
Él me dijo que. Le expliqué en qué estaba yo.
I explained to him in the
program que él era mi mentor.
That I was a mentor.
Que estaba yo en una fraternidad.
That I was in a spiritual fraternity called Le Veilleur, watch and pray.
Completamente cerrado.
The priest was completely closed.
Él dijo que nadie me podía enseñar cuestiones de fe.
Nobody can teach me questions of faith except him.
Mm-hmm. O algún padre
or a priest who is a Catholic priest.
Entonces, me retiré de
so I left the church.
Entonces, yo creo que asistir a los estudios bíblicos de estos pastores es como si estuviera yo en una iglesia.
So for me to participate in the Bible studies of these pastors is like I'm assisting their that's my church.
Mm-hmm. How Vatican II changed.
It did change things in big ways, the Vatican II, in our area. We had Jesuit priests in our region in one of the departments that were just incredibly, you know, great, the way they preached the gospel, you know, in big ways. You know, but the Pope has clamped down on many of these priests and bishops who were more open, and he's put in lots of more conservative priests who've clamped down on some of these, you know, more open, progressive women religious, you know, people and priests. And so we're seeing, you know, that a lot of the advances of Vatican II have been wiped out recently. And the new priests, a lot of the younger priests that we see are more conservative than this last generation. But, you know, but I think it's really diverse, you know. Just like in the Protestant churches, it's diverse.
En Honduras, en las iglesias católicas, cuando
in Honduras, in the Catholic churches,
cuando va a llegar el momento de la comunión,
when it's time for communion,
primero el encargado, el predicador,
the preacher, will first,
digo yo así, le pega una bañadita a la gente.
Will give people a bathing, in other words, bawling out.
Una bañadita en el sentido que los les dice. Se puede tomar la comunión para la salvación, para ir a la gloria o para ir al infierno.
You can take communion to go to heaven or to go to hell.
Por esto.
For this reason.
Porque si uno no está, dicen ellos que si uno no está a cuentas con Dios,
if you're not right,
si
right with God, if you're not following all the requirements,
al comulgar,
if you take
está pecando,
you're sinning.
Está condenándose.
And you're condemning yourself.
Ahora si ya ha cumplido todos los requisitos,
if you've fulfilled all the requirements,
va directo a la salvación.
Then you go directly, you're saved.
Entonces,
salvation.
Vaya, eso lo hacen porque no conocen a la gente,
and they said
más o menos cómo está.
Because they don't really know where people are at.
Porque tal vez hay 200, 100, 150 personas.
Maybe there are 150, 200 people there.
Y tal vez llegan cada tres meses.
And maybe they come every 3 months.
Cada 6 meses.
Every 6 months.
No conocen a la gente.
And the priest doesn't know the people.
Entonces, ¿pero qué sucede?
But what happens?
Uno es sincero.
People are sincere.
La gente es sincera, dice,
people are sincere.
Si yo no puedo,
and they say, if I can't,
estoy haciendo, estoy, no he cumplido con todos estos requisitos,
if I haven't fulfilled all these requirements,
yo no lo hago.
Then I'm not going to go take communion.
Entonces, pasa otra persona que sí los está cumpliendo supuestamente.
So somebody else goes ahead
se va como todo un caballero a,
to commune, and they're all proud, and they walk up to commune because supposedly they're fulfilling all the requirements.
Entonces, tal vez de un grupo de personas como ustedes salen 10 a recibir.
So maybe a whole group like this, 10 of you would go to receive communion.
No tienen derecho.
And the rest don't feel like they have the right.
El predicador no les dice que no tienen derecho.
The priest doesn't say you don't have the right.
Pero los amenaza que,
but
que
the threats,
que si van a tomar aquello y
if you
no
take
van,
it,
entonces,
and you're not fulfilling,
la gente tiene.
And people are afraid. You know, so anyway, that's this whole message that we are saved by Jesus' work on the cross. And that it's a gift, and you know, that is the word that, you know, when people start to hear it, first they can't believe it. You know, when they start to believe it, and it takes time, and I've done it, you know, this is my ministry, really working with folks like this, with this images of God. I've seen many, you know, grow and become convinced, you know, and experience conversion of their minds, you know, which is what repentance is, right? Metanoeo is a change of the mind, a change of thinking. But it's a long process that involves engaging people in the text and helping them learn to read carefully. And it's one of the most exciting things. I mean, it is the most exciting thing that I can think of that I do, is watching that transformation and people's image of God be transformed when they see themselves, when they see God finally is with them in Jesus, you know, beside them, you know, maybe in prison with them. But anyway, it is a long process.
We're out of time.
In other occasions, half of the communion is given. The bread is given, but not the wine. I don't understand why that is. Maybe because the priest doesn't know the people. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about promoting liberation in Central America.